Good morning. I too want to greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and worship Him. Wanted to welcome all of you, including our visitors. Glad to have you here with us. Hope that you can be blessed as we worship here this morning. I wonder how many of you read this on the board behind me here this morning. I was really blessed as I read that. A little child, a shining star, a stable rude, the door ajar. Yet in that place so crude, forlorn, the hope of all the world was born. And that's why we're here this morning, because the hope of all the world was born. It's not necessarily about the stable, it's not necessarily about the manger, but it's because there was hope for the world born that night. You know, this week, I really struggled to know what to preach about. I actually told my wife a couple times, I don't know who's preaching on Sunday because I don't think it's me, but here I am. You know, I've been preaching a couple messages on the cross, and I wasn't sure. I had planned to preach the next one on the cross as well. But I knew this is like the Sunday before Christmas, and I wasn't sure, does that make sense to preach about the cross right before Christmas? And I was back and forth. I thought, yeah, I'm going to. Then I went about deciding not to. But, you know, I was here Friday evening, listening to the children's Christmas program, and I was really blessed. And then they sang that song, "It's About the Cross." And it just hit me. You know what? The Christmas story and the story of the cross is the same story. The birth of Jesus was just the beginning of the greatest story that's ever been told. The story that brought hope to a dying world. Yes, Jesus came as a baby, and that's a beautiful story. But the first verse of that song says, it's not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. And children, get ready. I asked Mr. Derek if I could get you all to sing that song after the message. So he said that you all would do it. You know, if we try to take the cross out of the Christmas story this morning, there's nothing special about it. It would be just another baby born. But because that baby born that night was Jesus, because he was the Savior of the world, because he came with the cross in mind, he came to die, it's become a very special story. It's become the greatest story ever told. And so I decided to go ahead and preach about the cross again this morning. First of all, before we get into that, I do want to share just a few thoughts on Christmas. A few thoughts that challenged me this week in thinking about Christmas. You know, there's a lot of different opinions among Christians on Christmas and how it should be observed, how it should be celebrated. Some will have nothing to do with it. Some do quite a bit. And I'm not here to make any strong statements either way. I believe it's okay if we have some variation on how we do that, as long as whatever we do brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. I think that's important. And I think we all know that there's a lot of Christmas celebration going on in the world that does not glorify God. And it's all the festivities, the money spent, elaborate things done, pretty much hide out and drown the fact that Jesus came not to be a baby, but for the purpose of giving his life on a cross. And sometimes I'm afraid maybe it's easier than we think to get caught up in some of that stuff. So the challenge for me is the way I spend Christmas, what I do for Christmas, does it glorify God? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it point to the world around me that Jesus came as a baby, yes, but he came to die on the cross. He came to give his life to provide salvation for us. You know, when Jesus came as a baby, that's what he came for. He came to die. I don't think there was anything very glamorous, very cozy about that little stable that he was born in. You know, we tend to get this mental picture of a nice warm stable and sheep and hay, and I mean, it could have been, but I sort of doubt it. You know, he left the glories of heaven, splendor that we don't know anything about, was born into a dark, cold world that even then at his birth had no room for him. So how I spend Christmas, does it glorify God? And I was also thinking about, this is just a really practical thing, I was thinking about the thing of giving gifts. And again, I know there's different opinions, I'm not going to make any strong statements, but the reason this was on my mind is because of a few conversations I had, and also partly because of a gift that somebody gave me yesterday. You know, we don't necessarily give everybody we know Christmas gifts, but we have occasionally done some of it. I don't feel like that's wrong. But yesterday, I received a gift. It wasn't really a Christmas gift. And it wasn't a gift that the giver even really knew they were giving. And to my shame, yesterday did not start off that well. I had a lot of things that I wanted to do. I knew I wasn't going to have time for. I knew I had things that I needed to do that I didn't really feel like. And I was out of sorts. I wasn't feeling very great. I wasn't being very nice. I was a little cross and grumpy. And I was being selfish. It's really what it amounted to. Unthoughtful. And unfortunately, my family sort of took the brunt of that. But finally, I ended up at my desk, and I was going to try to be studying for this sermon today. And I found myself frustrated, because how could God speak to me with the way I was acting, with what the frustration I was feeling? And I was sitting there, and my little girl she brought a pillow and a blanket, and she put the pillow behind me and put the blanket on me, crawled into my lap under the blanket. I'm not sure what was going through her mind, but she knew Daddy wasn't happy and that something was wrong. She also knew that one thing that Dad loved to do was to sit on the couch or recliner and take a nap, and to have his little girl or somebody there with him. And so she left whatever she was doing, her play, whatever it was, and she came and gave herself to me to try to make things right. And so we sat there. She might have had a little nap. I don't know. I didn't sleep. But I sat there and cried. And God spoke to my heart, and he showed me how I was acting. I was being selfish. And so I went and I apologized to my family. I tried to make that right. But I had to think of Jesus in that example. Jesus gave himself. You know, my little girl, she gave herself to try to help me, to try to make me happy again. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself. He left the glories of heaven and came down here, a place where he was honored and revered as Lord. He gave himself and came to fix the problems that you and I have. And I was thinking, you know what? Christmas might be a time of giving. Maybe it is appropriate to give at Christmas time. You know, in fact, it's really what it's about. It's what Jesus did. It's what Christmas was to Jesus. It was him giving himself, giving his life. And I had to think, I was challenged, what would happen in the kingdom of God if all the Christians out there would give like Jesus did on Christmas? Would give themselves, would give their lives to those around them, to build God's kingdom. I'm not going to suggest one way or the other whether you give gifts to those around you or not, but I will tell you that the most glorifying gift that we can give, the gift that will glorify Jesus the most, is to give ourselves. First of all, give our hearts to him. And then through that, pour it out to those around us. What do you think could be done for Jesus and for his glory if we all did that? All right, I think I'll leave it with that for now on Christmas. So back to the subject of the cross. I'd like to do just a little bit of review for a springboard of the message this morning. So who can tell me what was the first message on the cross? And I know you didn't preach it, so it's probably not as clear in your mind as it is mine. But can anybody remember what it was? All right, thank you. Yeah, the foolishness of the cross. How that the cross, the way of the cross to the world is foolishness. And to be wise in God's kingdom, we're going to look like a fool to the world. And the fact that the wisdom of God is hid from the wise of the world and revealed to the simple. How the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world are headed in opposite directions. They're not on the same trajectory. They're going to different places. And the second one we had, do you remember what that was? The way of the cross. Very good, thank you. We talked about how Jesus calls us to take up our cross. You know, there's many people or Christians today that are happy and willing that Jesus went to the cross and that he died for our sins, but they want to completely ignore the fact that he asks us to bear a cross as well. First of all, we need to come to his cross and then take up our own. We looked at four things in that message that the cross asks of Jesus, it asks of us as well. They were commitment, self-denial, surrender, and death to self. And when you think about those things, it's no wonder that the world finds the way of the cross foolishness. Those are things that are pretty much exactly opposite to the goals and agendas of the kingdom of this world. But we ended last time on a more positive note, and I think I had mentioned that it's possibly what I would preach about next. Does anybody remember what that was? power. The power of the cross, thank you. So the question this morning, is there power in the cross? Does the cross of Christ bring power? You know, we talked about commitment, self-denial, surrender, and death. Does that sound like power? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's the verses we looked at last time. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 18 there talks about the preaching of the cross is to the world foolishness. We talked about that. But it says, it goes on to say that to those that are saved, to those that have actually been foolish to the ways of this world and chosen the cross, have chosen to go to the cross, it is to them the power of God. I would like to ask you this morning, what do you think of when you think of power? What's power to you? Young man, maybe not so young man, is it your muscles? How strong you are? Reagan, how much can you bench?
I could say right now.
All right. 400 pounds? Okay. Is that power? It makes me think of something that happened one time. When I was a boy growing up, I liked to lift weights, and I never got very far, but I could bench a few. Anyway, we had a family gathering one time, and we got there. There was some of my cousins knew that I like to do this, and pretty much had just showed up, and they come and said, "Hey, there's a weight bench in the basement. You should come down, see what you can do." So yeah, of course I'm interested. I went down there. I had maxed out all the weights that I had at home, and but here was a real set of weights, and I mean, I think there was 300 plus pounds on that weight bar. And so I laid down there and I tried. I couldn't budge it. I mean, it didn't move. And it was interesting, as people showed up, they would all try their hand at this, all the boys. And most of them couldn't do anything with it. There was one or two that could, you know, maybe move it a little bit. There was one cousin I had that he was into weightlifting, and he was able to unhook it, but he couldn't ever get it back. But I had a brother, and he's a little bit not quite normal and a little bigger, so he had a lot of people that would tease him about being fat, and they were all bugging him. It's like, "Josh, you got to lay down there and try it. You need to do it." He wasn't buying it. But of course, they kept passing him. He was the kind of person that people tended to make fun of. And they kept bothering him. And finally, I could see it had reached about as much as he could take. And he laid down on that bench. And the bar started to bow, and up it came. He pumped it about 5 times and hooked it back on and walked away. The room was real quiet. Real quiet. I think they were had a different opinion after that. So that was strong. That was stronger than anybody else there could do. But the point I'm trying to make is that what you think of when you think of power? Somebody strong, somebody that can do whatever, lift a lot of weights, move whatever they need to. Or maybe you think of a diesel pickup, all souped up, that can go fast, pull a lot. Do you think of the U.S. military and all the tremendous weapons they have, weapons of destruction, bombs, nuclear weapons? Does that speak power to you? Or do you think of somebody that's in control, somebody that whenever they say something, people better listen, or else there'll be problems? Does that speak of power? Well, I want to tell you this morning about a power that makes all those other things look like nothing. Because in comparison, they really truly are nothing. It's the power that spoke the universe into existence. A universe that even to this day, man and all their capabilities, all their own power, has not been able to fully explore. Man has never reached the end of that universe. And it was spoken into existence just by single words. I want to tell you about a power that set up for thousands of years kingdoms and then destroyed them. I'm talking about a power that can cause storms and control storms that leave man and all his resources utterly helpless. It was that power that brought the Lord of the earth as a baby in a manger, that performed miracles that the world had never seen before. It's the power that Satan thought he had finally defeated and had in the grave, but that all the forces of hell could do nothing about. The children sang that song, the little boy from the carpenter shop on the Christmas program. And I got the picture of Satan giving everything he could to keep Jesus in the grave. But when Jesus rose, there was nothing he can do. And maybe perhaps it's the greatest act of this power of all. It's the power that can take a sinner like me, and like Paul said, the chief of sinners, and make me clean and pure. Make me a vessel that God can use, one that Jesus wants to dwell in. That's amazing power. That's true power. It's the only power that's going to take us through. And these verses right here that we just read tell us that this power is found in the cross. It's found in the cross where Jesus died. It's found in us taking up our cross and following Him. It's through the cross that we have access to this kind of power. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we can have that power in our lives? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 3 to 11 here. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here in these verses, we do not actually have the specific word cross mentioned, but it speaks quite a bit about Jesus' crucifixion and death, which obviously is the cross. It also speaks about the parallel to our death, to the crucifying the old man, to taking up our cross that Jesus asks us to bear. So there's three things in these verses that I want to look at. Three things that show the power of God, the power that can come through the cross of Christ, what the power did for Jesus, and of course what it can do for me. Verse 4. It talks about, the beginning of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. It talks about how being baptized into Jesus' death. And, you know, we often use these verses at baptism, and that's great. But it's really talking here about the choice we made, that the choice we make to die to self, to choose Christ, to choose the way of the cross. That's what it's talking about here. And I had to think about the second verse of that song that the children sang. It's about the cross. It says, it's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. You know, there's nothing that we can do. There's no good of our own. There's no righteousness of mine that will ever be enough. They'll never save me. It's only through the cross. It's only through the cleansing blood that Jesus shed on the cross and His dying, and then me coming to that cross and finding His forgiveness, finding His cleansing blood, and then the power that's available to me. You know, verse 4 and 5 there talks about that, the end of verse 4 talks about how Christ was raised from the dead and how that we also can be raised from the dead. It's talking about the resurrection power of Jesus. The power that brought Jesus from the dead up from the grave is the same power that can take me after I've died to self, after I've chosen the cross. That same power is available to me to raise me up to new life, to a new person. It's in the cross that we find forgiveness, cleansing, and redemption. It's where we find the power of the resurrection. We find newness of life. And this newness of life, to me, talks about a 180-degree turn. It's something completely different from what we were before. It's not a matter that I come to the cross and then I keep on stumbling down the same road I've always been on. No, it's a turnaround. I'm going the other direction. There's power in my life. I'm not living the same way I did. I'm living a life that's pure and pleasing to God. You know, when you think of a life that's pure, a life that's pleasing to God, it seems impossible. You think of the greatness and the holiness of God. Brian talked about God this morning, and I appreciated his thoughts. God is a great God. He's a holy God. He's not anybody that he has to answer to anybody. We think about that, and then we think of our own humanness, our failures, our weaknesses, and we wonder, is it really possible to live a life that's pleasing to God? Is it possible to do? I'm telling you here, these verses say it is. The resurrection power of Jesus that's available to us when we die to our old self is able to make us a new person. It's able to raise us up to newness of life. And that speaks of a completely changed life, a new life. You know, there's many people that want to claim the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice He made, but then go on living as they always did, living like nothing changed. But if we find the cross this morning, if we come to the cross, if we experience that power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, things are going to change. There's going to be a difference in our hearts and in our lives. There's going to be a new life. You know, this word new indicates that there was an old before. And we can actually see that. And verse 6 talks about our old man. But that old man is what died on the cross. You know, if we find ourselves dissatisfied with our lives, if we feel like we're not living like we should, if we find ourselves living the old life, if we find ourselves not experiencing that resurrection power of God that gives us new life, we need to try the cross. It's the only source. It's the only place that we can find true power. Power to live a new life. The second thing I want to see in these verses here that the power of the cross brings is freedom from sin. Look at verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Freedom from sin. To be completely free of sin. That's what the resurrection power can do for us. That's what the new life is. Do we believe that? You know, we live in a world that's full of sin. There's sin all around us. You know, everywhere we turn is temptation to sin. Satan's has so many things out there to get us, try to get us to sin. He's even taken the things that God has created as beautiful, things that God has even given us a natural desire for, and perverted them and turned them into filth. We have these things all around us, and we wonder is it possible to live free from sin? And we see all these things, and as parents, we look at our children that are growing up, and we wonder, can they ever make it? There's only one way. Only one way to make it. Only one way to live free from sin. And that's through the power that comes at the cross of Jesus. Verse 6 there talks about the old man being crucified. You know, to live a life free from sin, that old man must die. He must die on the cross. Once we've chosen the cross and the old man is dead, that's when the power of God is able to raise us up to a new life, a life free from sin. Through death comes power. And I know that sounds contradictory to what we like to think or what most people think. But in the cross, in death, is the power to live a life free from sin. You know, the power that broke the chains of death when Jesus died for us, the power that brought Jesus up from the dead, is able today to break the bonds of sin that hold us fast. It's able to raise us up to a new life, a life free from sin. Again, I ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that the power of God can do that? You know, the end of verse 6 there speaks about serving sin. Talks about serving sin. And I believe all of us probably know what that's talking about, what that's like. At least those of us that are old enough to realize our sinful state. You know, when we serve sin, sin is more than we're able to conquer. No matter how hard we try, there's no way to overcome. There seems to be no hope, no victory. You know, when we find ourselves there, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we have become the servant of sin. You know, the world around us wants to offer a magic cure for everything. People in the world want to live how they want to and take a pill or take something to fix their problems or at least make them feel better. And the world does offer a lot of fixes and solutions. But I'm here to tell you they'll only prove deceitful and disappointing. They will never fix it. You know, the world even holds forth teachings that try to prove or provide an easy way to salvation, a way that still allows me to do whatever I want to. But there's only one way, like we've said before. Only one way to find freedom from sin, to find salvation. you find yourself serving sin this morning, if we find ourselves bound by chains of sin, I plead with you, try the way of the cross. It's the only hope we have. There's no other way. Yes, I know we're all human. There's going to be times we fail. There's going to be times that we stumble. But if we're living the new life, if we have the resurrection power of Jesus in our heart, if we've been cleansed and freed by the blood of Jesus, by the power that comes from the cross, the times that we fail is going to just drive us closer to that source of power. We're going to realize how much we need it. Third thing I want to notice here in these verses is that the cross offers life. Verses 11, 8 through 11. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here again is the contradiction. The cross of Jesus is the source of life. You know, the cross is an instrument of death. And how can death bring about life? But that's what it is. Jesus gave his life so that the resurrection power could be displayed in him, and then could be new, could be real for us. It seems like a contradiction, but remember, the way of the cross is to the world foolishness. The only hope of life, real life, is in the cross of Jesus. Verse 9 and 10 there tells us how that Jesus was raised from the dead. He broke the chains of death. And it tells us that death will never again claim Jesus Christ. Death no more has dominion over him. And friends, let me tell you, that's an amazing promise. Death will never again claim Jesus. And the reason that that's such a blessing to us is because we have the opportunity to be tied into that source of life. If we choose the way of the cross, if we allow Jesus blood to cleanse us, if we take up our cross, if we find life and power in him, that life's never going to end. It's going to go on all the way through eternity. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The life that we receive through Jesus Christ, the life that we get at the cross, is life eternal. It's life that will never end. And as long as we stay tied in to that source of life, that life will last. That verse there in Galatians 2:20 talks about being crucified with Christ, but we live, and actually rather, that Christ liveth in us. That source of life is inside of us. And yes, while we're still living here in the flesh, we live it through the faith we have in Christ, that power that's in us. I don't believe this is talking about a life of barely surviving. It's talking about abundant life. We're talking about the very source of life. You know, I know there's times in life that are very difficult. There's times we feel like we're barely holding on. Feels like we are hardly surviving. But if that's where we find ourselves, we can't stay there. You know, it's too often I look to things around me, other things, for my source of life. I try to find life in myself. Or maybe I look to others around me for life. Or maybe I'm depending on things and circumstances to provide me with life. Those things are guaranteed to let us down. They cannot give us life that's lasting. They will prove to not be enough. The only life that will last through eternity is the life that's found at the cross of Jesus. And the power of God, the power of the resurrection. Life attained through the power of the resurrection is life that's going to fill me, and it's going to flow out to those around me. The life that I find at the cross is going to be a life I'm going to give back to God. A life I'm going to give back to Him in service for Him and His kingdom. If I'm experiencing the life-giving power of Jesus this morning, I will want to return it to Him in service. It's not something I will probably do. It's not something I do grudgingly. It's something that I'm going to do joyfully. You know, I've met people in life already that you just wonder, where does their peace and their joy and their strength come from? They just seem anchored to something that's holding them. Yeah, their circumstances in life oftentimes are hard and painful, but you can just feel the peace and the joy radiating out of their lives. And when I meet those kind of people, it just makes me long for what they have. I'm here to tell you that that life is in Jesus. That's the life Jesus wants to give you. He wants to give it to me. Again, the world has many things that it would like to offer us. Many things that promise a happy life, that promises a life of security, a life of peace, a life of fulfillment. And it even, like we had mentioned earlier, even tries to offer an alternative to an easy way to life eternal. But there's only one way to find that real, true peace, to find a life of security, of fulfillment. There's only one way to find a life that's going to last through eternity. And that's in the cross. It's in the saving blood, the cleansing blood of Jesus, and the resurrection power to raise us up to newness of life, to life that will last. So again, circle back to the question, is there power in the cross? Is there? Do you believe that this morning? You might say, well, the power is in the resurrection. It's from God. And absolutely that's true. But could have there been a resurrection if it wasn't for the cross? If it wouldn't have been for the cross, there would have been no resurrection. There wouldn't have been the resurrecting, there wouldn't have been the bloodshed or the resurrecting power of Jesus, of God and Jesus. It's going to be the same way with us. If we don't go to the cross, if we won't die, there's no resurrection power in our lives. Without the cross, we can't have the power. Without the cross, there's no newness of life. There's no freedom from sin. No life everlasting. So is there power in the cross? It's at the cross where we meet the source of all power. And it's in the cross that that power becomes our own. So the challenge I'd like to leave with us this week, when we think about Christmas, we think about the joy that it brings, we think about the birth of Christ, let's never forget that the reason Christ's birth is so special is because of the cross that He came to bear. It's because of He came to die for you and me, to shed His blood so that I can be free from my sins, and that that power that raised Him up can be real and new to me. and that we can find life, life that will last through eternity. I'll read the last verse of that song. It says, "The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's love nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross." Let's kneel for prayer.